was a little kid, I was jealous of Shave It Lady for quite a while. I have to tell you that, not that I would ever do anything to somebody from Shave It Lady or a Cohen, that I would never do, but, and I wouldn't obviously blame them for my shortcomings or my issues, that didn't happen. But nonetheless, it pains me to watch someone else do Birchas Kohanim when I know I can do it. I know, I can get my hands up there the same way, I know I can have the brachos the same way, and I know my ego is being shot down just a little bit when every single time they go up there, it's like, no, not you, Tzvi, everybody else. The other people should go up, and I don't get to go. So much so that I look around the room before Birchas Kohanim to see if there are any Levim in the room. Because if I don't see any Levim in the room, then guess what can happen? I'm a Bechor Petzer Rata. So I get to wash the hands of the Kohen instead of the Levi itself. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's a little more commonplace. It's difficult to find a time on Yom Kippur when there are no Levim in the room. Thank you, Rabbi Sheinfeld. But it happens. But when there are none, I get to jump up. So inwardly, I know I want Mashiach for the right reasons. But inwardly, I want Mashiach because I know that a Bechor Petzer Rata may also serve in the Beis Hamikdash, depending on how you learn that Zohar. So it's a possibility that I'm going to be there in the first place. So that way, I get to do whatever Shave It Lady has. In a way, I get to do that. Now granted, I am a lefty, and the Rambam says that a lefty is automatically a Baal Mum when it comes to serving the Beis Hamikdash. But nonetheless, I'm sure I'll get over that. I'll figure some way for me to become a righty at that point, and I'll circumvent that problem when it comes to it. Nonetheless, there still is that little bit, that kinah that I have for Shave It Lady. And then this parsha goes and exacerbates the entire issue by saying, here's B'nai Yisrael. I'm going to count up all B'nai Yisrael. And three times, Shave It Lady is told they're not going to be counted together with B'nai Yisrael. They're special. They're holier than everybody else. They get some special dispensation which nobody else gets. In Pasuk Mem Zayin, in the first parak. Pasuk Mem Tes, it says it again. And then again, in parak Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Three times, Shave It Lady, Lo Hasbaktu B'socha. They're not going to be counted within them. They're special. Now, this is on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the way that we understand a parsha of Midbar. Rosh Iyar. Maybe, it's a strange thing altogether. Granted, it was after the Egel Azov, but there's something special, something that Shave It Lady did that's a little bit different. And I can tell you the Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab brings in his Mayim Beis Shoeva, his meeting with the Chafetz Chaim. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. When he was a younger kid, he visited the Chafetz Chaim. And when he visited the Chafetz Chaim, a bunch of different things happened. One of the things was he sat down with the Chafetz Chaim in his room, and the Chafetz Chaim said to him, are you a Kohen, perhaps? And he said, no. He said, are you a Levi? He said, no. And the Chafetz Chaim said, do you know why? Rav Schwab didn't have an answer. My dad. And he said, because when Moshe Rabbeinu called out loud and said, Mila Hashem Eli, who's going to work for a Kaddish Baruch Hu? My parents answered, and yours didn't. That's a line. My parents didn't answer. Or Rabbi Sheinfeld did. He became Shave It Lady, he isn't counted, and I'm a little bit different. I automatically. But there's more to it than just that. B'nai Yisrael were counted from the ages of 20 to 60. And the age of 20 being the youngest, 60 being the oldest, that's who was counted. And all 603,550 people that are counted at the end of the day are all B'nai Yisrael from 20 to 60. But not so by Shave It Lady. Shave It Lady, you're going from a month and up, from 1 month old, a baby who can't speak, can't clean himself, can't do anything for himself. Even 1 month old, Shave It Lady, that kid is counted. And it goes all the way up. I know it goes all the way up. It's past the age of 60. Because the Pasuk tells us that Aram had little dots on top of his name. And Chazal tells us the reason why Aram had those dots on top of his name, Rashi brings down this Medrash, is because Aram was not counted. Moshe Rabbeinu was, but Aram was not counted. He doesn't count because he was a Kohen, possibly a Kohen Gadol. And that means Aaron, who at the time was at least 84 years old, at least 84, would have been counted if not for the fact that the Pasuk takes them out. Most revenue would have counted. So from a month until however old they were, 100 years old, 120 years old, 150 years old, Shave It Lady, every single one of them was counted. So number one, why does the pasuk have to say it again and again that these people aren't counted? And what's the pshat? What's the pshat that they have to be counted from a month and up? What is their job? What's their avoda that they have that's so much better than what I have over here? So there are two aspects that we're going to try to put together. One of them is answered by Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz and Sichus Moser. But the other one is not. We're going to have to add something to it to try to understand how these both can go together. Rashi says in Pasuk Mem Tes, in his Dover out there, the reason why Shevet Levi is not counted among Klal Yisrael, Rashi tells us, because Hashem saw in the future, like quote the Rashi will say it like this, Hashem saw in the future that everyone here that was counted from the age of 20 to 60 would be punished with death among the Masei Midbar. They were going to die because of the Meraglim. So every single one of them would have died. And he said, I don't want these men, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be included in the gezeira of all the men who are going to die. So therefore we'll leave Shevet Levi out. They're not going to be counted within everybody else, because they didn't mess up during the Egel Azov. Now consider that for a second. There were people among these men between the ages of 20 and 60 who did not sin. It was not every single person in Klal Yisrael that sinned by the Meraglim. The Pesukim are referring to the 10 Meraglim, and then many, many people who were backing them up, saying maybe we shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, maybe Eretz Yisrael is not a good idea. There were many people who sinned, but it wasn't everyone. It wasn't everyone. But the gezeirah went out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everyone should die. If you're between the ages of 20 and 60, and you're among the Bnei Yisrael, then you die. And Shevet Levi should also have been in that category. They would have been in that category had they been counted with the rest of Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically took them out from what happened at the Egel Azov. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? So we know this concept. It's a Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Samach, that the Malach HaMashvis doesn't differentiate between good and bad. And that when somebody is supposed to be punished, when there is supposed to be a punishment that is brought to this world, it makes no difference if you deserve it or not. When a punishment comes to a klal, the klal is punished no matter what you as an individual did. That's a scary, scary idea. If Shevet Levi counted as part of the klal, if they're included with Bnei Yisrael from the ages of 20 and 60, if they would be included, then they would also have died because of the Meraglim, even if none of them had anything to do with it. And on the other hand, if there was a person from Shevet Levi who disagreed with everybody else, who disagreed with the Kol Bnei Yisrael, and got up and said, you know what, maybe the Meraglim are right. Maybe we shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that person from Shevet Levi was on the Meraglim's side. That person doesn't die in this gezeirah. He lives along with the rest of Shevet Levi. What an unbelievable chiddush. For being in Shevet Levi, you don't die. For being in Klal Yisrael, you're going to die. Do you understand? That means to be part of a klal. To be part of something. To not live as a simple individual. This is a chok. This makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. I deserve to live. So why am I going to die? I deserve to die. So why am I going to live? But this is a rule. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it out there. Only two people survived. Kalev and Yoshua. Why did Kalev and Yoshua survive? So the pasuk says, Chayu mino anashim. They lived from them. And of course they lived. They didn't die. What does it mean? Chayu mino anashim. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. They should have died. Even though they argued, they should have died because they were part of the klal of Klal Yisrael. They were counted between the men the ages of 20 and 60. They both should have passed away. But they didn't. Because they did something to separate themselves from the klal. Yoshua and Kalev got up and said, no, they're wrong. And they took themselves out of the klal and put themselves in a different klal. That's what it means, chayu min ha'anashim. It's not just that they individually made decisions. They tried to make a brand new klal. They tried to bring people to their side. Kalev is silencing everybody and telling them, no, believe me, come to my side. He's taking himself away from the klal that was there. He did something, a maisa that brought himself out to take himself away from everybody else. And only then are you able to get away from the rule of anybody who's involved in Tzibur dies. Only then could he do such a thing. That's the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. It's a crazy, crazy idea. That helps us understand. Bnei Yisrael were told, you can't leave your houses until the morning on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That night, we know what was happening. A Malach HaMashkes was going through killing every Bechor throughout the land of Mitzrayim. We call that Aniva Lo Malach. Whatever it means, there was something going through on that night, killing every single firstborn in the Mitzrayim. And Bnei Yisrael were told, don't leave. Nobody should leave their houses. If you leave your houses, you might die with everybody else. What does that mean? What does that mean? They didn't deserve to die. They're not Bechors of Mitzrayim. Why would they pass away? Why would they die for walking outside? The line is, if you're part of that cloud of the people that are walking in the street, the Egyptians, if you want to put yourself in that cloud, then you're going to die along with them. And if you separate yourself, if you keep yourself separate by putting the blood on your lintel and your doorpost and staying inside your house and listening to another set of rules, being part of a new cloud of Klal Yisrael, then you won't die. It's your choice. Which cloud do you want to be in? Do you want to be in the cloud of the Mitzrayim? Walk in the street. Do you want to be in the cloud of Klal Yisrael? Do what I'm telling you right now. That's the concept. The idea is to stay within one thing, and in a sense, you're ultimately changing nature, changing who you are in order for this to happen in this way. And again, I don't want this to just sound like you're going to die in a bad way. It works in a good way as well. It works in a solid way. Person from Shevet Levi who wanted to be like the Meraglim. A person from Shevet Levi who agreed with the Meraglim did not die because Klal Yisrael may have sinned. But Shevet Levi overall did not. When you're part of a Klal that survives, that lives, then everything goes well for everybody there. Gemara Brachos on Daf Lamed says that a person should always be mishtatis himself with the tzibur to be able to go through. This concept applies in a simple form of why we have to daven the tzibur. In a simple way. If I wanted to take nothing else from this, I would tell you, here's what it means to be davening b'tzibur instead of davening by yourself. Davening by yourself, you don't have the skus for your tefillahs to make it anywhere. There's no way. We don't have that type of skus anymore. If you daven by yourself every single morning, or every single afternoon, or every single evening, or all three, there's no way your tefillahs are making it anywhere near where my tefillahs are going. Because it's not me versus you. It's a tzibur versus an individual. An individual's tefillahs, it could break its way through if you have enough tzar, if you have enough korin, if you have something that's working through together to be able to make it go through. But otherwise, an individual does not have that type of tzchus. A tzibur does, even if they have chelbana in it, even if there's somebody there who doesn't deserve anything at all. A rasha can daven with a tzibur, and its tefillahs go up to Shemayim before yours, way before yours. Yours might not even make it. That's what happens when you don't daven with a tzibur. Because you're missing out on the whole concept. Does a person need to daven? Yes. Is there a chiyuv to daven? Yes. Is there a chiyuv to daven with a tzibur? No. Technically there's a chiyuv from the Torah? No. But the Shulchan Aruch says to do so, and this is why. Because putting yourself with a tzibur allows your tefillah to be heard. And if you're davening by yourself, it's not heard. It's not there. So you can do it all you want. It's just not powerful. It's not the same way. We're not dealing with Onsim right now. As individuals, we don't have that power. As a tzibur, we do. And if that's true, a tzibur becomes this whole different entity that everyone becomes a part of, and everyone is put in the same proper place. We can do tremendous things with that. We got from the 49th level of Tumah leaving Mitzrayim to the 49th level of Kedusha at Har Sinai by Matan Torah. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is no way a person could do that. There's no way a person could work on himself that way. To go from one to the next, you'd have to jump two levels. From negative 49 to negative 47 to negative 45, two levels per day to get to the 49th level of Kedusha. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. To get yourself so far from one to the other, there's no way. There's nothing you can do to build yourself up that way. But we did it because Ki'isha Chod Beleva Chod. That's not a cute little song or a little idea that your kids are going to come home with to tell you about. Like, everybody's Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahor, that we stood together by the mountain. It means it's a serious thing. We became Klal Yisrael by the mountain because we were willing to be together. We were willing to work together. We were willing to be a team. We were willing to have everybody together to make it happen. That's the concept of what Etzibur stands for. You can grow and build upon each other. You can learn from other people's mistakes. You can understand what other people want because you're a Etzibur. Either you're a Etzibur or it's just a bunch of individuals. When a person asks, what's the difference if I learn in a Beis Medrash or if I go to the yeshiva? Learning in a Beis Medrash means you are sitting there doing everything by yourself. Yes, you might have a chavrusa. There might be one or two other people with you, but you're not a tzibur. You're not working with anybody. You're just you yourself, and however far your limitations can take you, however far you can go, you're going to get that far. With a tzibur, you build upon it. It's a joke of a story, and it clearly means something else entirely, but the idea is the same that they say about the Baal Shem Tov. That the Baal Shem Tov used to have these huge, long tefillos. He would daven for hours, hours upon hours. And he'd sit there, and he obviously needed a minyan. So the minyan would be there, but the minyan would finish after 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They'd be there, they'd finish their Shemot Esrei, and they'd see the Baal Shem Tov sitting there by block one. And they'd go, oh my gosh. So one time, the minyan left. There were nine other people there. They saw the Baal Shem Tov had just gotten to Mugin Abraham. So they're just like, oh, we're not going to be able to take it. They were hungry. They went. They left. They got breakfast. They came back a half hour later and they saw the Baal Shem Tov was sprawled out on the floor. Sprawled out on the floor. They ran. They picked him up. They said, Rebbe, what happened? He said, well, when I daven by myself, I can only go up to a certain height. But when I daven together with a tzibur, so I climb upon everyone's shoulders. And we make a huge ladder, and I'm able to get to the highest heights that I can all the way up in Shemayim, and I can see all the way up in Shemayim. But when the minion leaves, I fall. And he fell from a high height. He was sprawled out on the ground. It's a joke. But the concept is the exact same thing. The concept is that you can only get that high, you can only get that far with the tzibur below you. Without the tzibur, you can't do it. For Kabbalah Satorah, to accept the Torah upon ourselves, the night of Shavuos, the whole concept of Shavuos is to be Mekabalah Ki'isha Chod B'Lev Achod, for a soul to get together and learn, everybody together in one place, whether that's one rabbi's speech or in one Beis Medrash or in one shul altogether. For a yeshiva, to have everyone in the same spot together working toward the same goal. Yes, individually, it may be easier or better for you to be by yourself learning in some other place. You might be able to learn more. You won't be distracted. There won't be anyone near you. It's a possibility that you will have an easier time learning in an individual place. But you're thinking of it in the wrong vein entirely. Anybody thinking to themselves, it's better for me to be away from yeshiva, for Matan Torah, for Kabbalah Satorah, is totally, totally missing the concept and the point of what Shavuot is. It's the exact opposite of what that is. You think it's an individualistic goal or gain that I'm going to get for myself out of Shavuot? That's what it's all about? I'm going to learn more Torah. I'm going to get more out of it. It's going to be easier for me because of X, Y, and Z. That is totally antithetical to what Shavuot was made for. You might as well not have a chag. You might as well not. Just learn on your own, wherever you want to, whenever you want to, because it's up to you. It's an individual person. Shavuot by definition is a klal. By definition it means everyone together. To separate for it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. The truth is there really should be for all of Shavuot. Shouldn't just be the night of Shavuos, learning together in one Beis Medrash. It really should be all Shavuos long. Should have the 2 days of Shavuos just straight where everybody's learning together, everybody's doing whatever they need to do by all the days. But at least for that night, Shavuos is supposed to be a culmination of an entire Zman, of a whole Zman from the beginning to the end, and especially so by us now, where it's the end of the year. This is it. We end right after Shavuos. You'd think that this would be the time where finally we get everyone together. So it doesn't bother me so much when I say that people come up to me and ask me about leaving for Shavuos. I understand the question. I think it's totally missing the point, but I understand the question. But I'm totally, completely against where a person says, but then I'm coming to Lake Geneva on Wednesday. You've totally missed the point. You've completely missed the boat on all this. And I mean that in a very very, very punny term. You've missed it. Do you understand? It's so the opposite. It should be, well, I have finals, and therefore I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to the Lake Geneva trip. But instead it's like, well, I think it's easier for me if I end up going somewhere else for Shavuos. You want permission? I'm giving you permission right now. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to force you to be here for Shavuos. That's not what I'm going to do for anybody. That's not what I do. I'm not here to force things down your throat. But it's the point of it, just what it is, it's everybody here together. We're either we're here or we're not. So you have little individuals getting on the way and saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. That's fine. It's fine. Whatever ends up happening, you want to work your own way and you think this is better for you, it's fine. If you want to act that way, I have no problem. But you're totally missing out on Shavuos. You have no idea what Shavuos is all about just by asking the question, let alone doing it. It's a total misrepresentation of what learning Torah should be. That's the difference. So what am I jealous of when it comes to Shavuot Levi? Why does it bother me so much? You know what I see? I see a group of people that are working together for a common goal, working for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that Kohanim are more special than I am, or that Levim are more special than I am. Their jobs are better defined than my job as Yisrael is. That's the difference. I don't want just a simple like, oh man, I wish I could do Birchas Kohanim. Oh man, I wish I could wash the hands of a Kohen. Right? That's not what I'm looking at. Or to sing in the Beis HaMikdash, or to be a gatekeeper. I'm not looking at the individual jobs. I'm not saying like, I'd rather have this, or I'd rather be that, or I'd rather do this. No. I'm seeing an altogether plan. I'm seeing an idea where these people decide, this is what we have, this is what we're going to do. And I look at that and say, I want that. I wish I had that. And the truth is, the whole parsha is about what that with Degelin. That each Degel stood for, number one of the camp, one of the Shvatim. And then there was a Degel that stood for all three camps on each side of the Aron Kodesh. You felt like you had a purpose. You felt like you had a job. You felt like you were doing something. That's what I want from Shavuot Levi and Shavuot Kohen, from the Kohanim. And that's what I'm jealous of. Why were they separated? They were separated because they did their job of what they were supposed to do. And Klal Yisrael eventually just flew off the handle. I don't know which Shevet I'm from. I know I'm not from Shevet Levi, but I have no idea what Shevet I'm from because we lost that. The Shvatim lost their distinct personalities. That was part of the reason why we fast. To say fast. Where Tuba'av became a bit of a... It was the first time that people were able to marry into each other's Shvatim. The Shvatim kept their identity for so long. They thought, there's no way we're going to lose this now. So they started intermarrying with each other, and it killed it. And Klal Yisrael lost it. And now we just have Shevet Levi and everybody else. It's a pella. It's a pella how it works. And I think that someone answers it. You want to know why they're excluded? To take them out from the Gezerah that was there for Klal Yisrael. You know why? They were really excluded. They were really excluded because they understood their job and they did their job together as one. And that should be the lesson that we learn from this parsha, especially right before Shavuos. Everybody has a job and we work together and we're all part of Klal Yisrael. You can be an individual within that. There's no question. You can wear your own special set of socks that makes you different from everybody else. But in the end, it has to come back somewhere. So where's it coming back to? It's coming back at Lake Geneva? Was coming back at Matan Torah. Where are we coming back to? That's it. That's the lesson that I think should be learned from this. Have a good week, everybody.